Now, we're going to start today by discussing that pretty shocking story that you may have heard on Radio Kerry's lunchtime news to do with school attendance. Now, this is a subject that I have spoken about a few times in the past, and I make no apologies for coming back to it again because it's so, so important. And those figures are pretty shocking. Just in case you missed the story in our lunchtime bulletin, the average secondary school student in Kerry missed almost 19 days per school year. And that isn't, that's not any Mickey Mouse survey. That's according to the Economic and Social Research Institute. And furthermore, it's not just in secondary level. The ESRI study also found the average primary school pupil in Kerry missed almost 14 and a half days per school year. So why are young people in primary and secondary school in Kerry missing so many days, and what is being done about it and what should be done about it? Well, someone who's taken a lot of interest in this particular topic and has spoken to us about it before is Councillor Angie Bailey, and she's on the line now to chat a bit more about this. Welcome, Angie.
Thank you very much, Deirdre, and hello to all your listeners as well.
Now, Angie, I should say at the outset, because I think it's relevant to the debate, that you are a teacher. And, you know, if I can just take the discussion in an unusual direction to begin with, just outline to us, why is it so important that children turn up at school for every day, if at all possible, unless they're sick?
Well, from when a child starts school, whether that be kindergarten or primary school at the age of 4 or 5, the whole socialisation aspect of school is something that generally doesn't happen at home. And it's where they build on their own interests, their own hobbies. They actually get to independently choose their own peers and who they become friends with. So from this aspect of socialization, and I suppose growing up and an individual's autonomous predictabilities and their own choices, this is hugely important. And as well, I suppose the older they get, then it starts around building relationships with their teachers, understanding what course content they like when they're in secondary school, and they get to choose their own subjects that they like. And then they're brought into the wider discussions of what's going to happen when you leave school and what areas do you want to go into, whether that be, you know, down apprenticeships, whether it be into certain trades, going into the family business, down to university, whatever that may be. But the whole structure of the school is built like a community to allow students to develop and grow and to socialise within a community and not just within the home, because the skills we get at home are hugely important, but so too are the ones we get in school, because that's part of a community, and it's a part of a community that we can pick and choose to be part of different aspects of it. Whereas I suppose with family, we're landed with the family we're born into typically, but in school we can choose different routes, and that for the engagement and for the child's autonomy and development is hugely important.
And when you get to secondary school level, it goes without saying you're talking about following a curriculum for junior cert and then a curriculum for leaving cert. And if you're missing days constantly, you're missing chunks of the curriculum and, let's face it, downgrading your chances of doing well in your state exams.
Well, that is one point, but you know that there's always different access to education. I'm a big believer in that. But more importantly is that you're losing out on that socialisation time with your peers, maybe losing your seat at the lunch desk where you sit on with your peers. And it can be very hard. I'm the mother of two teenagers myself, and it is definitely the hardest job I have ever done being a parent to adolescents, because you've this hormones playing with everything else that they're trying to deal with in life, including school. And if they lose a place at the seat at the desk where they normally would have sat because someone else has taken that place due to the absences, it can be very hard to get back in. And that means then you have a child feeling unwelcome. Are they good enough to sit there? Do they deserve to sit there? So you have all the pressures of academia along with these social pressures as well as of fitting in.
There's a lot to unpack in these figures from the ESRI, Angie, but One thing that screams out at me from that report is socioeconomic factors. The stats clearly show that schools serving more disadvantaged communities, including DESH schools, that's where the record higher levels of non-attendance is. What can we do about that? Or is anything being done about it?
There is a lot being done at the moment, but it's just not enough. So at the moment, you'll have educational welfare officers to check in on the well-being of the children, those who need it most. You also have family and school liaison officers who will be the contact people between family and school. But unfortunately, Deirdre, there's just not enough of these supports available. I know that Minister Nocton has said that she's going to make increased funding available to TUSLA and for these family and school liaison officers, but it's just still not going to be enough. And even within that, that's only looking at one of the small points within this much bigger picture. That's going to be there for the student who needs it most, and probably for the student who already has been shown to have a lot of unexplained days. And sometimes we have the explained days due to an illness. Students may go on a reduced timetable, and all our schools are really aware of all of this. And I imagine when this data came out today, there's not a school in Kerry that didn't already know the figures, because they're watching them carefully and they're using all the resources they possibly can to try and catch these kids before they go fall into the cracks. With the socioeconomic, I suppose we often think of socioeconomic as just being the amount of money that goes into a house. But often it's a lot more than that. We may have parents who don't have an education. We have maybe have mental health issues in the house. They may be socioeconomic deprived because of the area they live in. I mean, if you look at the housing crisis we have now, more and more people are falling into homelessness, which then pushes them into that category. So this is not just, you know, that you can wave a magic wand and say we're going to drop a load of money onto this problem. That's not necessarily going to fix it. They need to be very, very, strong, detailed and very managed supports that fit exactly with what the school needs. And the schools are crying out. I mean, I know I've sat on the Parents' Council in Mount Hawke for years. They're crying out for any kind of family and school support liaison officer, because if they notice a child isn't going to school, and I think most schools as well, you'll get a notification if your child isn't at school. So parents are aware and schools are aware. But if they do, if they can see a child falling through the cracks, they don't have a support officer to go and knock at the door and speak to the parent and speak to the student. So they're looking for teachers then who may have a free class who can go and knock on the door. And I mean,
is that happening here in Kerry? Are teachers actually doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the teachers care and they can see this happening and they're crying out for the supports. And the supports, even if there is funding at it, who's going to do the job? I don't think we have enough trained people within the county and within Ireland who can take on these roles.
And just anecdotally, Angie, and I know that, you know, it's a small county and we need to be careful, but like what kind of things are going on at home that result in the child not turning up at school? Is it that the parents don't drive them, don't value education, don't get them out of bed in the morning? You know, I know like there's no one overriding reason, but could you give us an example of some of the reasons why parents wouldn't push the child out the door to school?
There's several different reasons for that. One of them that you already mentioned, it might be school transport. The school misses the bus, the child misses the bus or hasn't gotten out of bed on time, and therefore there is no way to get to school. The bus might take too long, so the child opts out of this. And as well, Deirdre, like I mentioned already, dealing with adolescents can be a very fraught job. And sometimes the adolescent can get the better of the parent. And is it really worth the argument? You also have cultural norms. We very much pride ourselves on the education that we can give our children in this country. That doesn't happen all around the world. So as I suppose our international numbers within the county increase, we also need to be instilling those same
values,
pride around education, yeah, and the values, yes, and how privileged our children are to be able to get this education. You also have the problem of disengagement. Children just don't feel engaged anymore in school. And I mean, is that then a problem with social media and phones? I know I'm trying to ban TikTok in my house because those shorts that they watch, the short minute videos, which are the algorithms are designed by psychologists to make sure that they grab the child's attention and they fully engage them for those short spurts of time. That's not going to happen in a classroom where you may have to listen to a teacher on about, you know, maths or geography or something that may not always, you know, tickle your fancy, but this is the curriculum, get over it, and it has to be studied and learned in order to pass the state exams. But when you have that disengagement, sometimes, and again, some reports as well have shown this, that you don't no longer have the concentration for the class, which leads to more disengagement, which then again leads to increased likeliness of not going to school. We have unexplained mental health problems. And again, look at the delays with CAMHS in County Kerry. And it's a very unfortunate situation because you'd like to think that every single child will get the exact same opportunities. And that's not happening. And it's so easy to blame parenting, but we can't blame the parents either.
Yeah, well, one thing that does strike me, though, is you so seldom hear. Now, I know you hear about it from time to time about parents being brought before the courts and imposed with fines or whatever for not having their child at school over a certain number of days. But those prosecutions aren't very common, Angie. So I'm just wondering, like, what happens? At what point does a school say, oh, hang on now, Mary hasn't been at school for X number of days, and take action? I know there's protocol for reporting to TUSLA, for example, isn't mm-hmm. there?
Yeah, there are within a certain, I think it's when you're absent maybe 14 days or something, that the parent will get a phone call, and you're then told that if you're absent in however many more days, that TUSLA will have to be informed of the absences. You know, I suppose within this, there's people who take holidays in the less cheaper times, but that shouldn't be happening at secondary school because a lot of people go in the month of June. But these are typically not followed up on. And then I suppose you have the problem of children going into school just to kind of tick their name to that box and then leaving again, which is also a problem in school. And again, I think this comes down to disengagement. But the parents, I think, you know, we can't be, not every school absence is the problem of the parent. But there are some repeat offenders where the school know exactly the children, the families they come from that are going to be absent. And it's very likely that these families also need different kinds of support, whether that be mental health issue, it could be accommodation issue. There's such a wide variety of issues, and it's so easy to blame the school and to blame the parent, but that's not always the case. If a parent can't help themselves, how are they expected to support a child in their journey to education?
Yeah. Leaving aside the socioeconomic factors, Angie, for a second, and also even leaving aside a case where there might be mental health issues, mm-hmm. could you make an argument that there's too much soft parenting going on nowadays? That now, and you already alluded to it about mm-hmm. it's tough to raise adolescents, but you know, like I heard somebody say recently in the context of this very discussion, somebody said, geez, in my day, your arm would need to be hanging off at the socket before my mum and dad would let us stay home from school. And certainly, I think the current generation of parents, you know, they let their child stay off school for more flimsy reasons than would have been allowed in my time or your time, shall we say. Is that an aspect of it?
It is, absolutely. And I actually did my doctorate looking at an aspect of parenting and the authoritarian versus the authoritative. And within my study, I saw that within Western countries, we're typically now kind of following a more organic or a passive form of parenting and allowing the children a lot of autonomy before, I suppose, they're psychologically or mentally ready for it. And that means that the children are deciding what it is they want to do and not the parents. So you can, I suppose, interpret that as parents taking a back seat when it comes to parenting and not fulfilling what would, I suppose, the things you have mentioned, what would traditionally have been seen as parenting duties. It is very hard work, and it's something that I find myself challenged every single day. And I say that openly. You know, I'm absolutely exhausted by parenting, but I know at the end of the day, I have to send my children into school. I have to put up with the battles, try and keep my cams about me and make sure that they get their education. And unfortunately, that's not the way all parents work, because this whole Western approach now is that more helicopter, you can call it organic, but it's pretty much like, say, the organic means that free range, so that you allow them to do what they want.
The softly, softly approach, I think, is what you might call it. Well, listen, Angie, just before we finish up, I think we've established that there is a myriad of reasons why so many children in Kerry and all over the country, because Kerry is echoing the national trend, are missing days of school. But if there was one thing you'd like to see done, one concrete thing that could be done that might help tackle this, what would it be?
I'd have every school with their own family school liaison officer.
Okay.
Because I think that is able to tackle the problem. From a couple of days absent, you get to identify the child, you touch base with that family, you enter into discussion via the school, the parents and the child, and you get to the root of the cause and you fix it before it becomes a national figure, statistic like that.
And at the moment, not too many schools in Kerry have a school liaison officer.
No, very few. And a lot of them, the supports are given to the traveller and the Roma communities. But we can see from the statistics, when you have 51% of these absences as unexplained absences, it's not just the traveller and the Roma communities that need these support. It's families like me. It's every single family out there who finds their child slipping through the cracks. And before that becomes a problem, it needs to be addressed, hit on the head. The child and family need to be supported. And that child then needs to be given the option of continuing their education or going down the line of apprenticeships or whatever that child may have their interests in. But at the moment, they're not being supported. They're falling through the cracks and they're becoming a statistic. And once you become a statistic, the problem has already gone on too long.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, it's a topic, a very interesting topic, and a worrying trend as well, it has to be said. Angie, I know you've a huge interest in this area, so thank you again for coming on to highlight this and to discuss it in more detail. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Deirdre. It's very important, and thank you for discussing it again and keeping it to the forefront of conversations.
My pleasure. That is Councillor Angie Bailey there, Fine Gael councillor, who is on Kerry County Council and a teacher herself and somebody who has some knowledge of trends in this area. And in case you missed it, I think those figures are shocking. The average secondary school student in Kerry missed almost 19 days in a school year. And not just that, but primary school pupils in Kerry are missing, the average primary school pupil in Kerry is missing almost 14 and a half days per school. Why are our children not going to school as frequently as they should be? Why are they missing so many days? I'd love to know your thoughts on that, listeners, this afternoon, because I'm sure you all have your own theories. 0667123666 if you'd like to call us, and you can text or WhatsApp 083 300 300.